I forgot his sword. I'd like to dismiss our children to their Sunday school at this time. I'd like to turn your attention to 2 Chronicles, the 5th chapter. Second Chronicles, chapter 5, verse number 1. Thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished, and Solomon brought in all of the things that David, his father, had dedicated, and the silver and the gold and all of the instruments put he among the treasures of the house of God. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all of the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto Jerusalem to bring up the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. So the house is finished, and he brought all of the important things of David into the house. We've done that. We finished this house. We have all of the very important things, the instruments of God, which are you. And then verse number 10 says, there was nothing in the ark save the two tablets which Moses put there in at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel when they came out of Egypt. The word of the Lord was the only thing that was in the ark of the covenant that came into the temple from the city of David. And then if you'll turn to 2 Samuel, the 6th chapter. Second Samuel 6, verse number 9, it says, and David was afraid of the Lord that day and said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? How shall the ark of the Lord come to me? What was in the ark? It was the word of God. And this morning, we should be asking, how can the word of God come to me? David had a failure. He tried to do it his way, and it didn't work, and somebody was killed in the process. And now he's asking, God, how am I going to do this? How is it going to work? The house is finished, but how does the word of God? When I talk about the word of God, it's not just a matter of reading the word, hearing the word. You know, I can tell you about the healings in the book, but I want the healings to come to me. Amen. It's not a matter of just hearing it. How is it applied to me? Amen. Lord, we ask your blessing upon the word this morning. God, you truly inspired it. You kept it for us. And it's just as important today as it was when it was first inked. And God, we ask, Lord, that somehow it'll come to each and every one of us, not just the sound of it, but God, the importance of it. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. That was David's question. How shall the ark of the Lord come to me? Or how shall I receive the word of the Lord? And not just that we hear it, but that we can experience the word of God. There are a lot of churches who read about the Acts of the Apostles. They look at the miracles of God, and they think, well, that was for them, but it isn't coming to us because there's no need for it. But there's a greater need this morning than ever before. We can hear the preaching on healing, but we really need a healing. Amen. That's why we pray. Amen. Glory to God. Throughout the Bible, worship is the highway in which we receive everything we need from God. Now, I know I overemphasize worship in this place, but there isn't anything that is going to cause greater revival to come, greater holiness to come, greater attention to the things of God than when we worship. If you don't have your antennas up, you're not going to get the signal. You can sit in here and not receive anything unless you have a worshipful attitude. Psalms 37:4 says, delight thyself also in the Lord. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. In fact, you don't even know what the desires of your heart is, but if you will worship God, he will make you happy. He will make you complete. He will make you satisfied. In Mark 5, a man who lived in cemeteries, who had 2,000 devils, saw Jesus afar off, the Bible says, and he ran and worshiped him. 2,000 devils living in a cemetery, has chains on his hands. He's cutting himself day and night. And when he saw Jesus, the first thing you would think, when the sinner sees Jesus, they would run. But he actually ran to him and he worshiped him. And when he began to worship Jesus, the spirits were cast out. He went home to his family. He wasn't vexed anymore by those spirits, and he put his clothes back on. Hallelujah. You know, one of the reasons we're modest is because we run and worship Jesus. Amen. And we put our clothes back on. Amen. We want to be a part of the family of God. Amen. We're not troubled by all of these thoughts that this whole world is troubled by. Now, if somebody who had 2,000 devils can worship God, hallelujah, then there is no reason why each and every one of us can't worship God, even in the worst problem. Hallelujah. Also in Mark, the 5th chapter, there was this woman with an issue of blood, and it's been preached many times, including by myself. And when you had an issue of blood, you could be put to death by touching somebody else. And she took the same highway as a Gadarene. She was determined to get a hold of Jesus to receive her healing, and she said, if I may touch his clothes, I shall be whole. Amen. She knew that if I could get a hold of him, if I could worship him, something is going to happen like nothing else has ever happened. I spent all of my resources. I've tried everything and everything's failed. And now I'm going to try Jesus. I'm going to get on the highway of worship. Amen. Hallelujah. That word touched in the Greek means to attach oneself in a relationship, but also it says to set on fire. Now, isn't that exactly what happened on a day of Pentecost? The Holy Ghost fell on them like as fire, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. How did that happen? It was when they all worshiped God that there was a touch of fire that came upon them, and they were made whole. They were filled with the Holy Ghost. In Mark, the 10th chapter, verse 47, there's this guy who's blind Bartimaeus, got on the same highway of worship. I want you to see something. When people get on the highway of worship, when they decide, I don't know, everything I've done, it hasn't worked, but now I'm going to do something. I'm going to pull out all of the stops. I'm going to start worshiping God in my dilemma. I will not die in it. And so he got on that highway and nobody could stop him. He exceeded the speed limit. Even though there were all kinds of worship police around, he wouldn't pull over and stop what he started. He kept yelling, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Now, quiet down. Those are the worship police. Stop it, come on. Really, a little ridiculous, isn't it? Worship police. Glory to God. But he kept yelling, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I'm on the highway. I know where I'm going. I know who I have to see. I know what I want. Verse 48 says, and many charged him that he should hold his peace. But it says, but he cried the more a great deal. Amen. Thou son of David, have mercy on me. We all know that blind Bartimaeus went home that night and he was able to see for the first time. Amen. Because he got on a highway. Amen. Let me ask you this morning, how do you want to go home this morning? Just like you came? Or do you want something to change in your life? Glory to God. There's some things that I've been asking God for a long time, and I haven't seen them yet. But you know what? This morning, I'd like to go home and see some things changed in my life, because I wouldn't be pulled over by the worship police. I wouldn't be stopped by the restrictions of the Pharisees. I wouldn't stay in a cemetery thinking about what could have done or should have done or why did this happen to me, or I got all kinds of pressures on me. And no, I don't want to just stand around like those that stood around Bartimaeus while others cry out to Jesus and get their deliverance and their healing and the revelation of God. Well, then I have to get on the highway. Amen. Highway of worship. Amen. David said in 2 Samuel 6 and 9, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? How am I going to get the word of God working in my life? You see, David had just experienced the wrong way of bringing the ark. He figured out a more convenient way. I was in a ministerial conference yesterday morning, And there were committees getting together, and we're all, as ministers, discussing how we could have greater revival, and we could do this, and we could have a food pantry, and we could have a rock-a-block, and we could march around a bunch of places. And I said, I'm sorry. How about the Bible way? How about teaching the Word of God and worshiping our heads off and creating an atmosphere that says, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Hallelujah. Everybody's looking for a silver bullet, a new method. Hallelujah. And we got the method here. Somebody's got to pay the price. Someone convinced David, hey, this is the way it should be. But nobody checked with Jesus. No, you don't put it on a new cart. You don't put it on a new method. We don't parade Jesus in because we have now the internet. Amen. We have Facebook. This is really going to work. Sister Bidding gave me a plaque. I have it in my kitchen. I look at it every day, and it says, have you logged into your faith book today? Hallelujah. So he experienced the wrong way. They set the ark of God on a new cart. And if you'll read it, they even played music and danced before it. Did you know you can have music without worship? You really can. But the result was Uzzah was killed because God wouldn't accept it the way man produced it. Too many want to bring the Spirit of God and His Word into their life the wrong way. Right. Oh, they're sincere, but they don't conform to what the Word of God says. Right. We're afraid that our exuberance, our liberty in worship is going to offend somebody else, so we tone it down, and so everybody goes home the same as when they came. But what if there were a bunch of blind Bartimaeuses in this place this morning? What if there were some people who had an issue of blood, or somebody who wanted to get rid of the chains, who wanted to be delivered and go to their family, wanted to put their clothes back on and be like a normal person? Well, then you got to get on the highway of worship. Hallelujah. Our programs just aren't going to bring in the presence into this place. Hallelujah. And it's just not acceptable unto God the way we do some things according to our, even some of our Pentecostal traditions. We need something that will cause the promises of God to be enacted in every church services.
we really should see healings every time we get together. We really should see miracles every time. We should have the gifts of the Spirit in operation to the point where we just have to ring a bell and stop it, you know. And we shouldn't have to pray and fast and get a hold of God for a week in order to see one little drop of the miraculous happening. But the miraculous should be happening all of the time because of the attitude that we have coming before the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Examine the woman with the issue of blood, blind Bartimaeus, the Gadarene, all desperate to worship God, knowing that if their desperation would show up on God's meter, that they would, not could, but they would get what God has already promised them. And if the ark comes to rest in your house because of your worship, then the blessings of God will continually be in your house. We do not have to be beggars. God, please do this for me. God, please do that for me. But if the ark of the covenant, when we start worshiping God, it's just going to show up in everything that happens. Don't be surprised that your employer says, I'm going to give you a raise. Don't be surprised that you don't have to have the flu shot. Don't be surprised. Would you turn to 2 Samuel 6? We read verse number 9. Let's read it again. And David was afraid of the Lord that day. You know, when you're not doing it according to the scripture, you can become afraid. And said, how shall the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not remove the ark of the Lord unto him into the city of David. But David carried it aside into the house of Obed-Edom and Gittite. And the ark of the Lord continued in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all of his house. And it was told King David, saying, the Lord hath blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that pertaineth unto him because the ark of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom into the city of David with gladness. See, wherever the ark rests, that's where the blessing is going to be. Hallelujah. Don't tell me that it's not important to worship God with all of your heart, mind, soul, and strength. Not just on the good days, but on every day, even the days that aren't so good. Because if the ark of God rests in your house, David thought, well, if it's going to bless his house, can you imagine what it will do in the church? In 1980, my wife and I went to a world conference, a United Pentecostal Church world conference in Jerusalem, and every night of the conference during the preaching, there was this little black man from Ethiopia who would get out of his seat. There were thousands of people in that auditorium. He would get out of his seat during the preaching, and he would start dancing. He would worship God. He would make a spectacle of himself, and he just worshiped and worshiped and worshiped. You knew every night that he was going to start worshiping. I later found out that he was the general superintendent of the Ethiopian church. They experienced the greatest revival in our day. I mean, hundreds of thousands of people were filled with the Holy Ghost. I mean, they had revivals with 600,000 people in one revival. I've seen pictures of the glory of God that looked like a cloud. They would just say, who wants the Holy Ghost? And they'd pray the prayer of faith. Brother Billy Cole would come. They'd pray the prayer of faith, and people would just raise their hands and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And then lines of people who would come up who had never seen, or they had crutches, and they just walk up to the front, and instantly God would just heal them. Amen. Why in Ethiopia? Some of you remember him coming to our church here. I remember talking to him at great length when Brother Tackle Marion was a young man. He loved God, but he didn't have full truth, but he desperately wanted full truth. And so he asked God, how can this truth come to me? How can I experience everything that I'm reading about in the Bible? Could I receive the Holy Ghost as they did in early days? There was nobody who was instructing him. This is when he was a young man, and he loved God. Well, that was what God had been waiting for him to say. And there aren't many highways in Ethiopia, but there was this road next to Brother Taklamarian's house, and God said, start running down the road and start worshiping me. And so he began to run with all that he had down this little dusty road in Ethiopia. And he got about two blocks down on the road as he was worshiping God. And God filled him with the Holy Ghost just like that. And there was an anointing on his life. And from that day on, the ark of the Lord rested in his house. And there was a stream of people who came in. And it all started with somebody who started running down the road for Jesus. Amen. When I think about somebody dancing, I think about Brother Gruelings over there and doing his special dance. I could never copy it. It was just awesome, but it was so pure because he had a love and a joy for God that was so welled up in him that it had to come out of his feet. You see, and I saw that same thing in Brother Taklamarian in that conference. He had to just get up and he had to dance before the Lord. I saw him at general conferences on a number of occasions dance right up to the platform and dance around the speaker as he was preaching the word of God because he wanted the ark of God's covenant resting in his house. Don't tell me worship doesn't have any effect on revival. Amen. Revival in the church, but also revival in our own personal life. You can't sit like a bump on the log and expect God to bring great revival and blessing in your life. Let the fanatics do it. I'm just here for the word of God. Hey, listen, the word of God's not coming to you until you bring it in with worship.
Amen. Amen.
In each Jewish synagogue, there is a copy of the Torah. Everyone has it. The Torah is the first five books of the Bible. These Torahs are usually printed by hand with quill and ink on a scroll of parchment, and they can be several hundred feet long because it is a hand-staking process that has to be done, and it has to be perfect, and it generally costs up to $30,000 for a Torah to be put in a special box within their temple, and they know that it's their ark, if you will. When the Torah arrives, there is a celebration similar to a Jewish wedding. Music is played as it is brought in, and it becomes a part of the congregation, and it's almost like they are now married to the Torah. Are you married to the Word of God? Have you become one with the Word of God? It is then locked in a box called the Ark, a symbol of the Ark of the Covenant, which was once carried the law. Each adult is encouraged to dance around the synagogue holding the Ark with the Torah in it, with the Word of God in it, around the temple. This ceremony is called Dancing in the Torah. When David realized that his way of bringing in the ark displeased God, he became afraid because the presence of God wasn't there. The blessing of God wasn't there. David did a 3-month study on the word of God. 3 months it was in the house of Obadiah. 3 months, David was trying to do a little research in the Torah. What am I doing wrong? What are we really supposed to do? You know, when somebody does such research on worship, you know what? They become worshipers. And the reason to talk about worship so often is when we get the idea of how important and how we're married to it. God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We thank you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. We're dancing in the Torah. We're bringing in the covenant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus, Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God, glory to God, glory to God. Thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. How can the Word of God come unto me? David danced before the ark. After 3 months, he knew the answer. Every 18 steps, he stopped. And he began to worship God and give sacrifice to God. And he brought in a blessing, not only for him, but he brought in a blessing for all of Israel. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I know some people get a little excited about, well, I don't know if I can dance. Well, the word dance here, 15 different words. Whirl, spin, jump, turn, leap, run. Extend your hands, bow down, clap your hands, worship with your entire body. You want to bring in the Ark of God's covenant? You got to do it the way David did it. The way David did it. Hallelujah. Come on, this altar is open.